The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's on open line today through to 1, call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. And remember, roads close tonight at 6 o'clock until no later than 9 for MGP qualifying. Got a message in from Charlene, actually the back end of last week. Charlene just said, have we got any cruise liners coming while MGP is on? Yes, we do. This Thursday, the 21st, the Oceania Vista will be here. On Sunday, I think we've got two of the darn things. The Grand Circle Travels Corinthian and Azamara's Azamara Journey. And then Tuesday, 26th, next week, the Noble Caledonia's Hebridean Sky will be here. So yes, 1, 2, 3, 4 cruise liners here while that's on. Interesting to see what they make up. Maybe they've done that on purpose. So what do you think about what Ann Corlett said? You heard in the news, didn't you, what Ann Corlett was saying about the fact that it was different. This term for her has been different to the first one. This time next year, Keys will have been dissolved, and it'll be just weeks away from the general election. The government's published its quarterly update on the Ireland plan, but with 12 months to go, what's been achieved? I wonder what your thoughts are about what's been achieved. Douglas Central's Ann Corlett in a second term. She reckons progress has been slow compared to the first 5 years in Tynwald. I wonder why, if you've got an opinion as to why things seem to have drifted, or the perception is that things have drifted. Any thoughts on the matter? Well, here's Ann Corlett.
I am frustrated with the speed that government's moving at. It is very frustrating, and I didn't feel like this during the last administration. I came out positive. Maybe we'd had COVID, it was a really difficult time, and we were all looking forward to something better. But I do feel frustrated this time. You're going out for election in 12 months' time with the same issues as you stood on the doorstep with last time, and that is hard. It does seem quite divided at the moment, doesn't it? And it's difficult, isn't it? Because we've had a comb-in where people have been in and out, and every time somebody comes out, whether it's their own choice or not, essentially you've got somebody discontented then sitting on the backbench that isn't going to take the comb-in line, no matter what, in some cases. So I think also that revolving door of ministers that we've had has not helped, really, because for me, every time you lose a minister as chief minister, you're kind of creating an enemy. And there's been quite a bit of churn in chief officers too. You know, we've still got some interim ones. I don't think that helps insofar as planning ahead and feeling secure. And also, I mean, I think too, the creation of the extra minister to 10 in Comin, I'm not behind that really, because I think the balance is very fine as it is with only 24 members. And, you know, to build the power base of Comin one further, I don't think is the right thing to do.
Any thoughts on this matter? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. What do you think about this? It may just be this part of the political cycle. It just may be that that's the way that it is. But do you sense momentum in the political world at the moment? Do you sense that things are happening, that you can feel it in the air? I mean, years and years ago, you could feel that things were happening because things were getting built. The new hospital, the new incinerator, so the energy from waste plant, the new power station, Iris. Stuff was getting built all the time. There were cranes everywhere. The late Terry Kringle used to say you could tell the Isle of Man was on the way forward because of the number of cranes everywhere. Now, we do have a big project in central Douglas. At last, that part of the old Villiers Hotel is being redeveloped. But that's just one. We used to have lots of the things happening. So, and again, I just wonder, what your thoughts are regarding the political world. Is it moving forward? Is it stagnating? And really, is it logical to think that much is going to happen in the next year, given that once we get past Christmas, we're on the downhill to the election? Any thoughts? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Yes, your phones are working. No, just thinking last night, and I was going to ring up and ask for any of your listeners can remember it, but it suddenly came to me this morning. The Manx Grand Prix, as we got today,
yeah.
Well, it started off with a Manx Amateur Racing. There's another letter after that. I think there's something or another. But anyway, when we lived downtown in the 1950s and 60s, there used to be where the car park is now, up in Westmoreland Road, where Mill Crease Garage was. That was Farragher's and Ashton's. Mill Crease took it over afterwards. But when the bikes were scrutineered, they were kept up there overnight. And there used to be a parade down through from Mill Crease, down Prospect Hill, and Finch Road then was two-way, down past the church and along the promenade. And if my memory serves me right, they used to go up Summerhill and then round to the start. And that was one way of a parade, plus what they do these days, engine, warming the engines up, etc. Now, I was trying to think last night and this morning what the name of the race was that most of the locals went to. And just before your program came on, I had a light bulb moment that came to me. It was the Clubman's. And that was one that a lot of the local lads entered. But it was primarily for amateur racing. In fact, for a while, professionals were banned. So that was about all I was going to come on about. But the Manx Grand Prix, it is, they've done a good job now moving it out to what it used to be, the 12 days. But I was talking to part of a family on Saturday who have come all the way from New Zealand. So this man, his son, is racing, and he has been looking forward to getting to the Isle of Man for years to race, and I think his name was Hamish Tarr. He's riding one of the larger teams, but still on the first time. He's apparently riding a Honda 600, and it's been his ambition to come to the Isle of Man. Now, that's what you think. The Manx Grand Prix and this, that and the other, they mean nothing to a lot of people on the island. But to somebody on the other side of the world, it's a goal to be achieved. And this is where all the advertising in the world will not beat that. It's somebody with a heart that's beaten that wants to get to the Isle of Man.
It's so, often the way, isn't it, Howard, that what's that saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. We know all about this. We know it. You know, some people just get over it, really. But the fact is, to many people, this is the Holy Grail.
Yeah, it is. Well, this chap, I think that was his name, but he was here with his father, and I was sitting talking to his father. I was, again, at the Obscura, and they came up, the father, and I think it was this chap's wife or girlfriend, Brittany. But anyway, they were sitting talking for ages, and they were enthusing. You know, they're really giving the Isle of Man a full boost, and in their eyes, this was heaven. And as the girl said, it's so much like New Zealand, except in a smaller way. New Zealand is, I've heard it loads of times, that the Isle of Man and New Zealand are very much alike, except in size. And that's what's exactly what she was saying, that, you know, it's like coming back to a home, the lad is here, and he's going to be racing, and that was something he's been trying to achieve for ages.
And one of the other things, Howard, that we take for granted over here is our history. And of course, and the MGP is, was it 2023 was the 100th anniversary? You know, again,
something like that,
we just take all this history for granted.
It does. It's on your doorstep, and you're walking past it most days. And I noticed last week that all the banners had been taken down on both sides at the start and finish, the company ones. But next day, there were all brand new ones put up,
right,
with just Isle of Man on them. They were on the fueling points on the front on the roadside, Isle of Man, Isle of Man, and all the way down where the scoreboard used to be, Isle of Man banners. And that would be a first-class advertising, and they can last for a few years before they get shabby. But as I say, this family, and they've come here primarily for the racing, and they were singing the praise of this place and how nice the people are and how friendly everything is. And as you say, this is things we take for granted.
Well, there aren't many things in this modern world that last over 100 years and are virtually the same. Obviously, TT is more over 110, 15 odd years, mm-hmm, and the MGP. And that road racing circuit is iconic. I mean, if you're into road racing or motor sport in general, the Isle of Man TT is one of the iconic things. It's like a lighthouse in the middle of a dark ocean.
It is. Well, that's what this chap's father was saying. He won't go on short circuit racing, closed circuit. He was waiting to get here, and he was saving up, and he was I think he's a civil engineer, but I may have the wrong man. But by the same token, I've got the right family. This chap was saying he'd been waiting and waiting and waiting to get to the Isle of Man to do a proper road race. And he's been here for a little while. They're staying up in the north of the island, and he'd done Lord knows how many laps around the TT course in a car just to familiarise himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope everything goes safely for all the lads and to thoroughly enjoy themselves and the people of the island. This is something that we established here, outside the rest of the racing fraternity, and we should keep it that way.
Okay. All
right. It's just one of those things, just an old name from the past, and old people like myself will remember it. Ken Taubman, talking about the Clubman races, Ken Taubman, the chap that used to have the grocer's shop down there on Quine's Corner, I think it's a hairdresser's now, the grocery shop, Ken Taubman lived at Williston, and he used to enter the Clubmans. He never won anything, but he certainly made his effort and made the numbers up for the racing during the Manx Grand Prix in the 1960s, 70s.
Wow. Okay. Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. See you now.
Good
bye
to
now.
Hear from you. 19 minutes past 12 on the open line today on Man in Light. Stephen's with us now. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I was just listening to what you said about Anne saying it's been a sort of a quiet time.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should applaud that, because if we are going to reinflate the economy, it means more money is going to be borrowed to fund projects that possibly we don't need. I'm quite satisfied that we've had a quiet time, because we are not. What we need to do, in my opinion, is make everything work that we currently have. Let's get, because we've got big problems still with the hospital. We all meet people the length and breadth of the island that are having operations cancelled and can't see a doctor. We've got problems with the bus. We only managed to really recently get the bus reinstated from going down to the Sound and then the service from South up to Peel. So I think we should have this period of a pause and just try and make everything work that we currently operate. We all hear about schools. I think I was up at one of the hosting meetings for Douglas Central and in St Ninian's last time in the school hall, and there was obviously water penetration coming into the hall. And I believe that that hadn't been done for years now. I'm still unsure whether they've had sufficient money to spend on maintenance of public buildings. And we all go around and see public buildings that are not maintained. We've had Charles Gard with his videos and highlighting issues. We've recently had Mr. Morehouse talking about the problems in his area and also the sea terminal and the airport. So I would like to see this period of a pause to make sure and get working and get everything spick and span that we've currently got. And I also think it's a good thing there's been little legislation introduced in the, I hear people saying there was not many bills being passed. That's another good thing, because it's not simply good enough just to churn law out like a sausage machine just for the sake of it. If it's needed, that's all well and good. So what I'm saying is, let's continue this period of a pause and try and make everything work that we've currently got.
You know, when you were saying,
and also, Andy, you were not forgetting.
Sorry, Stephen, you were saying about the fact that we hear people moaning about the hospital and about doctors. Was it ever like this before? I mean, or are we just kind of eradicating our memories from the past? Didn't people used to moan about the old nobles and GPs before, or is there something relatively new?
Well, I suppose you'd have to look statistically how many operations were. Wasn't this, after all the wasn't Manx Care introduced to try and solve some of these problems? They always seem to have an overspend every year. But was it anything like this? I believe it's a huge sum of money that's now been put into Manx Care. And I can remember Alan Bell in one of his retorts once that saying he could put the entire budget of the Isle of Man into healthcare and there would still be not enough. So yes, you're probably right, there has been problems and Manx Care was supposed to fix it, but we've had more money and it doesn't seem to have worked. So I do think that we've got to try and get it working. Now, whether that's we continue with Manx Care or go back to what they're doing in the UK, which is going to go back to departmental control, I believe. But let's not forget that we're also still running a big deficit and running on the reserves. And we're not in balance with our budget by any means. So if we are to reinflate the economy, so to speak, possibly overheat it, is that a good thing or a bad thing when we're not in balance with our budget? So maybe we do need a period of a pause to try and get things under control.
Well, we'll certainly know by this time next year what's going to happen and who's going to be standing, because we'll be in that period before the general election. So for the record, Stephen, are you going to be standing next year?
No, I don't think. I think it's not for me. I think I'm quite content, and I hope people don't mind me ringing up Manx Radio occasionally with some observations and fingers crossed pointers. Perhaps some people will pick them up and think it's a good idea, and others will probably think what a daft idea that is. So no, I think I have took up causes, as you know, where I think we can, where it's a wrong one, such as MDC. I still don't think that's the right build in this area. I think it's too dense for this area of Douglas Central. And I know Mr. Thomas, he's got similar thoughts. So he's doing a very good job. So let's let him continue if he wants to stand.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it. Always welcome. Thanks, Stephen. It's 25 past 12. Oh, Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
Very well, thanks. Yes, but very well. Good. We could do with some sunshine, but never mind.
We could, but doesn't the island come alive with a bit of sunshine? It's been such a good week last week. I mean, everyone's out enjoying themselves and enjoying the beaches, and it just changes the whole island, that little bit of climate change.
Well, I'm looking at the webcams, and it's gorgeous in Ramsey at the moment. Ramsey looks absolutely lovely.
There you go. It was like that the other week, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, just a couple of points on you're talking about Anne Corlett's statement before that she came on, and I think the other member from Garth was on as well, wasn't it? Andrew Smith was on talking.
Yeah.
And did Anne specify what exactly it was that she'd wanted to change? Was there any specification, or was it just that the wheels were going round too slow on everything?
She just said she, and you can hear the whole programme tonight. It's on with Phil Gorn at 5:30. She wanted to see more progress in her role as the Vice Chair of Housing and Communities, because it published a report, Objective Assessment of Housing Needs. So basically, housing was the big thing with Anne Corlett.
Yeah, and that's not a new topic. We've had David Ashford going on about housing crisis on this programme for how many years now?
And I think that's what she was saying, is that, you know, the hustings last, everybody was talking about, well, no, the first thing everybody talked about last time was being green. That was the first thing. And then they were talking about transparency and then housing. So, but I mean, it's like Groundhog Day. We all know there's a housing problem, but it just seems that they can't quite break the circle.
I mean, unfortunately, we have quite a few green MHKs who are green about the net zero thing. But you look at, they're trying to do reform within local authority, which is a big part of getting housing. Now, this sticks at certain points because we have a government that insists on copy and pasting legislation from other jurisdictions. And the Isle of Man is totally different than any city centre in England. So when they get to these points in the legislation, some of it's quite good, but then the local authorities are going, no, this doesn't work for us. Well, government are so obstinate at changing anything, then you get these sticking points. And stuff isn't moving fast. We know they can move fast if they want to. They closed us down fast enough in 2020. So we know they can move fast if they want to. It's just that we seem to have people in drafting stuff up who are very good at just going and copy and pasting other people's stuff. And back to the point of the amount of money that some of these people are getting paid, what are we actually paying them for?
Well, to do their job, presumably.
And they're not doing their job, and that's my point. They're just copy and pasting other legislations. So let's get back to, you know, running the Isle of Man for the Isle of Man. And as Stephen has just said, we've got lots of stuff which is half broken, it's half fixed, nothing's done properly. Let's get everything done that's needs fixing. Let's get ourselves back to where we were, rather than all this new shiny stuff that they want to do. It's, for a prime example, 1.2 million in the great scope of things, not a lot, but they're trying to put in a skate park of some kind on the promenade. Well, there's nothing wrong with what it is. Fix the damn railings and all the stuff that needs doing on the promenade and leave it as it is. Put your skate park somewhere else. You know, there's probably 300, 400 apartments on that end of the promenade, and I'm sure do not want a children's skate park in front of them. But it's silly little things like that they're wasting money on. But yeah, we've got the you go along there and the railings are hanging off. I keep saying that, but it's just such a visual thing that you can just go and find quite easily. Let's tidy up what we've got. Stephen's quite right. But let's start getting legislators and draftsmen who are actually thinking for the Isle of Man and what we actually need here as a community, rather than taking a legislation from someone in Manchester or Birmingham, which is what they've done. Because I had this argument with Mr. Whiteleg when he was in with the copy and paste and legislation for the Landlords Bill, and look at the mess that left. You know, these people keep taking legislation from other people. If you're going to get paid for the job, sit down and do it properly.
Okay, all right. Good to hear from you, Drew, and thanks for that.
Take care, Andy.
Okay, and a message in from Judith. Hello, Judith. And she just said, with everything that needs to be done, and people talked about housing, she said, and the state of the economy, and the fact that we need NBT, says Judith. NBT is the next big thing, because at the moment we're over-reliant on e-gaming. And Judith said, with everything that we, the problems that we have, all they seem to have concentrated on are the private members' bills. The assisted dying, taking the bishop's vote away in Tynwald, and this 20-mile blanket 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. And in the meantime, our financial situation doesn't seem to be improving. So what are they doing, says Judith. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. We're on Man in Line today.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
When the ordinary just won't do, make your meal out truly iconic at the restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel. An expertly crafted menu full to the brim with delicious freshly cooked starters, mains, sides and desserts, with daily chef specials and their famous ginger roast every Sunday. The restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel, Ballymanock Road, Sulby. Open Wednesdays and Thursdays from 5 p.m, 12 noon Fridays and Saturdays, and 12 till 4 on Sundays. Dining at the Ginger Hall. You'll want it all.
Check out the Groudle Glen Railway summer timetable for some great days out. Visit the Clifftop Tea Rooms and Sales Emporium. Book a special steam tea and join our free family train spotting challenge. Hop on the line that goes uphill to the sea. The Groudle Glen Railway. For time, see ggr.org.uk or visit on Facebook.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit QVH Premier officespace.com.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Release the need to do everything well. You were great today. You did enough.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Let's relax further and imagine a long stroll on a sandy starlit beach.
Peaceful slumber and relaxation.
It's a balmy August night, and you are walking barefoot along the water's edge.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The big problem is, and to this day and in 20 years, I can't remember anybody ever being made accountable. Who's ever been fined for fly tipping? I can't remember a case. I mean, maybe you guys can, but the problem is no accountability. Therefore, people just carry on dumping stuff.
Composites, the final frontier. These are the specialities of Green Valley Farm Supplies. Our ongoing mission, to stock a full range of composite decking, fencing and cladding, to provide them in a full range of colours, to boldly supply trade customers and the public alike. Make first contact at greenvalley.im for more information, pricing and to secure your sample pack. Green Valley Farm Supplies. It's wood, but not as you know it.
Have you been into H&H Motorcycles or been to hnhmotorcycles.im? There is everything you need, from clothing and accessories to service, repairs and tyres. Stocking the full range of RST, Race FX Enduro and motocross clothing, plus Oakley sunglasses and goggles and casual clothing. H&H are the island's Arai, Bell and AGV helmet, motor oils and quad lock distributor. Call in at South Quay Industrial Estate Douglas for a browse, coffee and a chat, or shop online with home delivery.
World-class racing returns to the Isle of Man. And while the Manx Grand Prix racers take to the tracks, Tesco has everything you need to fuel your own adventure, wherever you're watching. From meal deals to barbecue essentials, we'll sort your pit stops this season. Setting up camp? Get race day ready with great value camping gear. With 10 stores open 7 days a week, Tesco are here to keep you on track. Tesco. Every little helps.
Become a world record holder for the largest three-legged race with Arlison and Sport Erin. Please register at arlison.im and turn up on Sunday, 7th September at 10 a.m. Ballachilia Park, Port Erin. Kindly sponsored by Tandem Corporate Services.
Junior Tenwald included some searching questions about 20-mile-an-hour zones, health spending and government spending on water and electricity infrastructure. On Agenda, we'll hear these questions and those not yet squeezed into previous programmes. We also hear from Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Watson, a former Junior Tenwald member, on the importance of the annual sitting and what Tenwald members get up to when sittings stop for the summer recess. That's all on Agenda this evening at 5:30pm on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Keys members do like to be beside the seaside, but they've got plenty of hefty committee reports as their holiday reading.
This August, we're celebrating National Coffee Month with our new competition, Latte Legends. If, like us, you can't function without your daily dose of caffeine, play along for your chance to win a Manx Radio travel mug and a coffee voucher, which you can use to fill your mug at any EVF outlet. All you have to do is check our Facebook page each Monday morning and identify the Latte Legend, a mystery music legend in latte art. Text your answer to 166177, starting with the word coffee, and every Friday afternoon, Chris Quirk will reveal the answer and three winners. Latte Legends with Ellen Van and Fuels and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Well, not so much. Bless him. Andy's been taken a bit under the weather, so I'm afraid, halfway through, you got me. It's 25 to 1, and it's Alex with you now. I would imagine through until 1 o'clock. Who knows what will happen? David Quirk is on the line. Hello, Quirky. How are you?
How are you doing, mate? I thought it was a bit of a joke, that, but never mind. You're all right as far as I'm concerned.
I was going to talk
about Stephen, and I just said, I know Stephen quite well, and hopefully he'll take this well, is the government is absolutely slow. It's actually got a horse tram and is stuck at the Villa Marina, and they've never actually done the track any further on. And that's for you.
Thank you.
Because the money was there and it should have been done.
Oh, yes.
But the Manx Development Corporation, what are they doing for us? What have they produced? Have they sold any apartments on the nurse's home site? Has anybody bought an electric bicycle and is living there? Can you buy a first-time buyer flat from any of the banks? No, you can't, because they don't comply with the regulations. And then the other thing is M&Co.
Mm.
Now, what a nice building it is there. Government own it. So what are we doing with it? It's empty. The only time it's ever occupied is when something happens with racing. Somebody puts helmets or clothing in it. And one of the other things I was going to say to Andy was the Section 13 agreements, when planning is done and you can't provide, say, first-time buyers or some enhancement to a particular area, that's right around the Isle of Man, how much money is in the Section 13 agreement fund? It's probably not called that. It's probably under Treasury somewhere or the DOI. What have they used with it? Have they spent any money with it?
Well, just to explain for the first time, sort of first time listener and myself included, Section 13, yeah. Is this where, let's be honest, a lot of us would say on your sort of down the pub social media kind of thing, that when developers are allowed to develop vast swathes of land in big estates, and we all sit there going, well, there's a small bit of first time buyers, surely they should do a bit more and be forced to do this and forced to do that. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about? That actually, if you're going to make a lot of money out of a big development, you know, there should be a bit of a quid pro quo for the community out of it.
Yes, that's it. And the same thing for the wind turbine farm that's going to go off the shore there in Onken by Groudle. And hopefully you might be able to tap into some benefit there to make maybe electric trains and some of the steam ones at Groudle.
Do you know what? I'd love it. It'd be absolutely fantastic. Yeah, be able to plug straight into a windmill. But in terms of revisiting your comment there, M&Co, is that the store that's next to Chester Street car park, for people who don't know? Because on the roof of it, there just seems to be huge swathes of plastic bags and things like this, effectively, I would presume, making sure it didn't leak.
Well, the school used to play on top of it.
Mm.
Do you remember when the school was moved some years ago up to Skolt Vallagiel, I think it was. I'll probably get it wrong. Is there? They were whinging that both schools couldn't combine. And how long has that been now? That's probably about 6 years. And we've never heard about them since then. But they've all got together, haven't they? Kids play together. And there was vast amount of green grass up in Annika there to do that.
Mm.
But I was just going to say, regarding the other property that government hold for us, because they're only custodians until we get rid of them next year.
Yeah.
Or we change them round, isn't it? Is that the old prison site, the Park Road School. We've got two pubs. We've got the QB, which nothing's happening with. There's other parts of land there. Do you remember down by the Summer Hill is the old stables there?
Yes.
Do you remember where they got caught out because they said the building was worth
Tramway Terrace.
Historical value or something like that?
Tramway Terrace, yeah. Yeah.
Tramway Terrace, that's the one. But what is it doing? Is it? I mean, it's the scaffolding there. We could have probably bought that scaffolding five or six times over. I'd love to find out how much we've been charged for it.
Well, the minister did say last week that they're looking into, as part of the latest business case of trying to get more money to finish the horse trams, because of course they spent the original amount, is that they're looking into the business case for Tramway Terrace too. So the minister has said that they are looking at it, but yep. Does this fall into the comments that Anne Corlett made, which is the fact that everything just seems to be so slow. Yeah.
Non-existent. And yeah. He's one for you. An absolute pearler, as far as I'm concerned. Ogden Park, beautiful place. You can get a good deal there if your kids come there all the time. Is a planning application for change of use from a dance studio to a gym was put in on the 18th of April. And it's not getting considered till the 26th of August. And we're an island that can do things. What's happening there?
That's the question. Are we an island that can do things, or did we used to be an island that could do things?
We used to be. Mm. We used to be. And that's what I was saying to our colleagues that was on for that we go slow and steady.
Yeah.
Sometimes these guys are getting 60 and women are getting 67,000 a year to do things for us on the island, to make us an investment, making sure we want things done in communities and push things along and draw people into the Isle of Man. Whether we like it or not, we have to draw people into the Isle of Man.
Well, David, someone put this opinion to me. When it comes to the way that government do things, do you think it's a case of, if we go back 10, 20 years, the people who had the Isle of Man booming, they were people who'd come up through the service. They were people from the, not necessarily Manx born and bred, but they'd come up through the service. They understood the Isle of Man. They cared for the Isle of Man community. And now we do seem to be a bit obsessed with recruiting from the UK. And the people we recruit into top roles in the civil service seem to bring with them a UK mentality of the actually, you know, the Isle of Man, it's almost back to the, you know, sort of educating the locals sort of thing, that actually we do things differently here. Now, that was an opinion that was put to me. Do you agree with it? Do you think that's part of the problem, that we've imported the wrong way of doing things for an island?
It is slightly the thing, but sometimes it's good to have a fresh face in. Because I always remember when we didn't have a Manx fire chief or a Manx... have we ever had a Manx chief constable? I don't think we have. We've had them living here for a long time.
Yeah.
And they've got into the jobs. You know, what we need to do is... I call it succession planning.
Yes.
Have we got a succession plan for the future? It's like Manx Radio, isn't it? Take that as an example. You've got presenters, David Collister, great guys, all sorts of people that were there years ago. If we didn't have you young fellas coming in, and you were young at one time, weren't you?
Thanks, David. Yeah, cheers for that.
Yeah. Well, it would be, isn't it? Yeah,
It's a very good point, yeah. Before you go, David, final one. A message in here says, does David have a personal interest in the gym at Uncombe Park?
No.
There you
go. I know that'll probably come from the next politician. I can't believe... Well, not the next politician. She probably will be later. To me, it's a bit weird. I'm trying to assess something at the minute. Somebody put spurious allegations up about the gym or the planning application that the commissioners did it. The commissioners can, I'm not speaking on their behalf, and did put their planning application in to get change of use. We're talking about a change of use from a dance studio. A place is empty. It's not making us any income for ratepayers, into a gym.
Okay.
And that's what it was, that the commissioners do things, or want to do things. And how do we help people out? Assist them on the way forward if it's a good community effort. Okay, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thanks very much, David. Lovely to speak to you. David Quirk, always got an opinion. Do you agree with David? Do you disagree with David? All great to hear from you. Thank you very much to Sammy, who says, plenty of get mail messages from us to Andy. Yeah, that's the reason I'm sat here. Okay. This is Man in Line on the fly. Thank you very much. Here is a message from Deborah saying, Gary Roberts was our first Manx-born and long-serving chief constable. Thank you very much for popping that one in there. And who's this from? Dickie, thank you, says, can Anne Call please explain what she's done to help the slow progress in government? She's highlighted, especially in housing, her supposed area of expertise, which is worse than ever for just ask any first-time buyer. She, like all MHKs and ministers, will receive the best part of $500,000 in wages. Oh, OK, over the lifetime of the government. I was going to say, I thought it was an annual salary. And to say there's been a churn in chief executives but not highlight the worst and most expensive area of government, Manx care, and not to say they've had the same chief executive running it to the ground. But once again, the point of Manx care, just to go on semantics here, Manx care isn't a part of government. It's an arm's length different organisation. That's the whole point. It's not the DHSC. Not to say Manx care needs a churn before any other area of government, but it won't happen, as it would be admitting how wrong they got it with Manx care. Well, once again, Manx care is a separate, an arm's length organisation. Okay. Now, whether they decide to disband Manx care and go back to the DHSC, well, that's a different matter. Okay. But the whole point is that the politicians should be keeping their noses out. That's why it was put out there in the first place. Thank you to Gaz, random one here, who says, I wonder if we'll be congratulating the steam packet for buying the Manxman mini cruise ship when we have to sail for half a day around the wind farm, says Gaz. Do you know what? The number of people who complain about the fact that the Manxman's like a mini cruise ship and things like this. And I'll take you back 25 years when the Ben McCrea arrived, and all of you were complaining that how the passenger facilities were basic and we didn't have luxury passenger facilities like the King Orry anymore. And finally, after we've had 25 years of basic passenger facilities you all complain about, we get a nice ship again, and then you complain again. Just saying.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Yes, well, Alex sitting in for Andy for the foreseeable rest of the programme. But, oh, yeah, I'm sure Andy saw his phone call come in and has run away. Julian, hello, Julian.
Hi, Alex. Give my best to Andy. Hope he's all right.
Yes, I'm sure he'll be fine. He'll have eaten something last night. You put money on it.
Yeah, it'll be that curry or yep. Whatever it was.
Fine.
Yeah, I see the somewhat negative news headline, Southern Swimming Pool forecasts larger deficit for 2025-2026. This is despite the fact that they've increased their income by 31,000, which is interesting.
Just remind me, where's the headline you're quoting, just so I know?
That's from Manx Radio's headline.
It is ours, yes, that's all right.
Yeah. Also in the headline, there's the use of the words projecting. There's another forecast and there's an expected. So these are all kind of up in the air at the moment. But I'm just interested to see that the so-called increase in the deficit is projected to be almost 31,000. But it's funny how Manx Care's overspend in this financial year of 15.3 million, which is 500 times more expensive than Southern Swimming Pools, mm-hmm. has never been referred to as a loss. And also I noticed that we never talk about the other pools because, you know, they have their expenses and they have much higher depreciation amounts. And Southern Swimming Pools is very small now because it's been built since the early 70s. And it mentioned depreciation. So I do hope they're not doing like we did the last time by increasing depreciation, which is nothing to do with cash flow. But there's a recently updated report from Swim England, and it's called the Value of Swimming Report. And that's taking into account not just the direct savings of the UK's pools to the NHS in the UK of 357 million, which was what the last report said, but the avoidance of social costs. That is a whopping 2.4 billion. And social cost metrics include mental health improvement, reduced absenteeism, and therefore you get more productivity, social cohesion, less antisocial behaviour. So the social savings are seven times greater than the NHS savings.
So, Julian, you're obviously making the case for swimming, which I don't think many people dispute about the positive nature of it. Mm. Are you stating then that looking at this report that's come out, that effectively it's all about the spin that goes with it? Because you say there, you know, that the swimming pool is described as a loss, and you find this across government that when it's something that you're almost, if I was in communications, if you want the public to not support something, it's described as a loss, whereas actually something that you consider valuable you describe as a cost, whereas, you know, from a point of view of money, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but what you've got here is you've got a balance sheet where you're only looking on one side. You're just looking at a lower, an increased deficit of 31 grand over an overall spend of 117,943, which is under 10 grand a month, by the way, which isn't bad for a 25-metre six-lane pool. Mm. But, you know, you've got other things, you know, 15% reduction in dementia, 25% reduction in diabetes, and by far the biggest benefit is for autism, 133% improvement in locomotor skills and 100% improvement in object control skills. So you've got a huge improvement in quite a lot. You know, autism is on the rise, it seems. So, you know, it's very beneficial for that. But just taking it on Castletown, if you look at it in terms of its savings as against what it costs, it works out that for every pound that you spend at the Southern Swimming Pool, you get £6.26 back. So if you look at that as a return on investment on a share, that would be a 526% return on investment. So what's not to like about that, Alex?
No, it's a good point. John's just messaged in saying, Julian is now completely losing me with all the facts and the figures. I'll tell you what, give me your concise points then, Julian, in terms of the Southern Swimming Pool, because they state here, obviously, that they're projecting a loss, but once again, I would possibly state that, you know, is it a loss or is it that's the cost of providing a facility to the community? But they've put it down to rising staff, maintenance and utility costs, which we all know are going up. Are you basically saying, looking at all the benefits, that actually this is a cost or a loss that you think is of value?
Well, according to Swim England, a swimming pool is basically 7 to 9 times more beneficial than the costs are, if you look at everything, including your social bit. So for the Isle of Man, you're looking at somewhere around, for every pound you put in, you get £6.26 back. Name me any other thing that does that. You talk about repair and maintenance. They've included 10 grand. Well, they've had next to no subvention payments from government for years. So, you know, maybe some of this problem is that stuff needs repairing because it's been neglected.
But Julian, you've just done a politician's end. I've asked you the question twice and you're not giving me yes or no yet. Do you think, though, that whilst we understand all the reasons behind this, do you think, though, that it is worth it? As in, if someone turns around to you and says the Southern Swimming Pool is losing this much a year, and you think, yes, but I think that's an amount worth losing.
Well, it's not. How can you lose when it's a service?
Well, exactly.
I mean, you know, it's a subvention board, isn't it? You know, a statutory board. Mm-hmm. You can't lose. You know what I mean? It's not a loss. And if you look at all the intangibles and the tangibles, it actually saves us a lot more in terms of less burden on social costs and also on our health service. So, you know, even from that point of view, if we're going to have a report, can we please include all the benefits as well?
Good point. So, I will personally ask you again, you think it is of value and you think it should be kept going, yes?
1,000,000%.
Yes!
It's stupid to even talk in these terms.
Brilliant. Thank you for that, Julian. I really appreciate it. I'll probably speak to
you
at some point soon.
Cheers.
Bye. There we go. I got an answer out of Julian. Crikey. You know, it's always nice to have daily wins, isn't it? Let's have a look to some of your messages before we get out of here, because 1 to 3 is just around the corner. Alex, what happened to the great June Watson MHK? Well, he's still there. Economic saving plan for the Southern Swimming Pool didn't last a year. I think he owes a Miss Edge and the other Southern MHK an apology, says Andrew. Okay, well, thank you for that one, Andrew. In fairness, your Southern Swimming Pool is still going, though. It is still up and running, which is, you know, the main point of all those economic savings packages, of course, they came up with for it, and it still receives money from the government. Thank you very much, as Desmond, who says, I hope you've got enough time in the programme left for the Bonzo's expert opinion. I haven't, to be honest, only 50 seconds left, but never mind. I'm sure we'll get Bonzo on another day. Tell Julian you get more out of the sea than you do the pool. I presume that's swimming, as opposed to harvesting seaweed or something. So, thank you. Yeah, okay. Do you know what? I have swum in the sea a couple of times this year. I decided to, you know, bite the bullet, and I went swimming down Port Erin. I'm sure the cold weather does you good, and the cold temperature of the sea is meant to do you good. Yeah, but it really, really, really wasn't for me. Thank you to John, who says that Julian needs a new hobby. Okay, don't say that. We'd have to fill the rest of the show with something else. And John says, Alex, funny how David Quirk is on Manyline every day. When he was in MHK, he wouldn't talk to the radio or the papers. Well, you know, I'm not going to go back through our archive to see how much he did talk to us or he didn't. Come on. I've got to go and pray for my next show now. Thank you for your company over the last 20 minutes of me flying by the seat of my pants. I'm going to go and try and find out where Andy's gone to now. He might be back tomorrow. According to David Quirk earlier, it might be David Collister, so that'll be an interesting little trick for us, won't it? Stick around. If you want to hear more about that Ann Corlett interview, where she's stating that basically government's not getting anything done, it's too slow, it's on this evening's agenda, which you'll be able to catch at 5:30 here on Manx Radio, part of our Island Life series, and available as a podcast afterwards. Stick around. Christy De Haven is up next with this afternoon's 1 to 3. I'll be back at 3, probably dribbling in a corner. Have a wonderful afternoon. Take care. Ta-da.
WINT